بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Muhabbat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about the greatest of ibadats. Similarly, to hate and dislike only for the sake of Allah ta'ala is also a very great ibadat. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. If a person or a work has been liked, and it's been liked and it's loved for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And if it's disliked or the person has been hated, then for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. No other reason. So the love is based on the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and the hatred is also based on the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is a very great thing. You will see in the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam one of these two things featuring. Sometimes it is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes you will find the enmity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam, after he had accomplished his mission, miracles upon miracles are performed before Fir'aun. So there isn't any argument, there is any room for doubt and for any type of reservation. Argument is accomplished, is fulfilled. So Musa alayhi salam makes this dua, إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah Ta'ala, you have blessed Fir'aun and his people with glory, with beauty, with influence in this life. Most people get caught up in the web of wealth, influence, glory, and worldly pomp. So, anybody sees that, or most people, when they see that, they get influenced, they get affected. And even people that are working for the cause of deen, they get also affected. Forget the ordinary people, even those that are working for the cause of deen, they also get affected. Whereas people, crowds, numbers aren't the things that you're supposed to be getting affected with. Last week, nice good alim, he began to speak about the different great ulama, and this person, his works are so much more popular, and this person here, in spite of his greatness, we don't see his work being so popular. So what is the reason for this? He's so great and so great, but you don't see the popularity and publicity of his work. And this person here, he is not even close to him, but he is so much more popular. So I told him the actual reason is known best by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes the reasons are that the one that is less, but he is more popular, he's invested his energy in a line that was needed at the time. Something was genuinely needed, and he invested his energy in that. So in spite of him not being so learned, educated, his works don't seem outwardly so to be so great, but then he's more accepted. That is why Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked that sahabi not to go in jihad and take care of his parents. So that was needed at the time. Jihad outwardly seems to be a much more rewarding work. Who doesn't want to give his life? Who doesn't want to spend his wealth? for the cause of deen, for the cause of Allah Ta'ala. That's the best about, best work. Zirwatu sinamihi al-jihadu fi sabilillah. The best of works. But for this time now, this work is more rewarding. Like you see, a person like Baiparia, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur. He wasn't an alim, wasn't an hafiz. He didn't know the fun of qiraat as well. And he didn't know fiqh and hadith as well. But then he was accepted. Why was he accepted? The only reason that comes to mind is that at that time, people needed that line of khidmat. And he invested his energy, his time, and his expertise in that line. That was needed at that time, so he spent everything in that. Energy was spent in that, his intelligence was spent in that, but in a cause that was needed most, though he wasn't educated, though he wasn't a hafiz, he wasn't an alim. But around the time that he worked, the 60s, beginning of 60s, till 1998 when he passed away, that was the type of work that was required. People needed that, and nobody was giving that type of direction. So he employed all his energies, he invested all his resources in that. Now then you see that Allah Pak has granted him acceptance. So that acceptance doesn't have to be just on account of superior, being superior in intelligence, superior in knowledge, having more kitabs, etc. And the other thing one needs to understand is abundance is not the standard. See, many a times people get misled, even learned people, educated people, when they see abundance, and on account of that abundance they get impressed and they get carried away. Now this is not a standard. So I explained that, Alim, that abundance is not a standard. Then I gave him the reasoning that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had once seen in a vision various anbiya, and the anbiya alayhi salam had large, huge ummats, huge following. This ummah, this Nabi and such a following, such a Nabi and such a following, and such a Nabi and such a great following. Right? And then he had also seen in that vision a Nabi coming out without any following. وَالنَّبِيُّ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُ أَحَدٌ. A Nabi, and he doesn't have a single following. Can anybody say, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, that Nabi that did not have a following is not accepted? He's accepted. He's accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That following is a secondary thing. And that's a very great consolation, a consolement for all of us. Sometimes we don't see outwardly that we are getting accepted. Don't worry about people accepting you, people taking to you. Don't worry about that. Don't put your expectation on people. If you are worshipping people, then you should put your expectation on people. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said it very well. مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَعْتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. That if you are worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's passed away. If you are worshipping Allah ta'ala, then he's eternal. He never should die. So don't make people your standard. You seek looking at the response of the people, and then you are considering that to be the standard, and this is very, very misleading. Can put you into danger. It can cause disaster for you, problems for you. See that Nabi, Rasulullah Pasam is seeing that Nabi, and that Nabi has got no following. Nuh al-Islam, he is preaching and he's struggling and he's striving for 950 years, only 80 people. Can you say that, na'uz billah, that he is not accepted? Can you say that? Allah Ta'ala's ways for accepting is different. It doesn't have to be one standard way, the way you think and the way you reason. Sometimes it may be just one person that's gained hidayat from you. But the quality of that person's acceptance may put away millions of people. or that person himself may be a means of hidayat for millions of people. You've put 1% right, and that person himself is a means of hidayat of a million people. Why are you focusing? Why are you concerned? Why are you stressing about numbers? You see, numbers, makhluk, your sight is on makhluk. It's numbers that you are worried about. You're being impressed about numbers. That's not the standard. That's not the way to go. So many of us, we get misled. We get carried away by numbers. You know, so many people are listening to me, following me, or learning from me. And I'm the cause of so many people. Now you put your mind into that and you get lost. Allah Pak, when He gives the description of the Sahaba Kiram, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, all their seeking was, all their yearning was for the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His pleasure. That is, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak can say that you were out for numbers, now you got the numbers, now what you want from me? Can't that happen? You are out for numbers, then you've got the numbers. Now what are you out, what are you searching from me? If you are looking for my pleasure, then why were you talking about numbers? Why did you keep that as the standard? So the basis is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Numbers, etc., is just a compliment. It's by the way. You got it, mashallah. You haven't got it, don't keep it as the standard. And don't stress about it. As long as you are doing the work. Doing the work, whatever work of deen your elders are encouraging you in, then you keep that work before you. Don't worry about the numbers. Yes, you should see that are you conforming with the teaching of your elders. This is the teaching of your elders. This is what they are telling you. Are you going that way or not? That's the important thing. Darulum Dioban, imagine such a wonderful place, right? Such a wonderful history it's got. And so many millions of madrasas, literally millions of madrasas, maktabs, ulama-i kiram, all products of that madrasa. There was a problem in the madrasa once. The town people and the madrasa had a problem. Town people wanted a certain trustee, certain person from the town to be also part of the trust. The trust, we all ulama, high-ranking ulama, learned, educated, understanding. But the town people had a demand that one of the town's people must be elected into the trust. The trust itself was not accepting this. As a result, for several days the madrasa had to remain closed. The town's people had come up in arms, objecting. The madrasa had to remain closed for several days, several weeks perhaps. Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that in that period I had to come to Dioban for some work. I had already graduated. For some work I had come. It was my madrasa that I had learnt in. And I had seen all this trouble going on. So secretly I wrote a letter to the head of all the madrasa, that was Hazrat Muhammad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I had wrote the letter like this. See, because of we not including this one person into the trust, there is such a big problem that the whole madrasa has come to a standstill. Right? All it will require of us is just to include him into the trust. And including him into the trust will not cause a problem for us. Because the rest of us will outvote him. The decision will be on the majority. He is one person out there. But in doing so, it will just suppress this fitna that has started off. Do you see Mullah Thaniwai's reasoning? But Mullah also considers someone to be his senior. As great as he is, the reviver of the Ummah, and a Mujaddid, what great, great titles people know him as, but he still sees someone to be his elder. He doesn't feel that because of my learning, my expertise, and my acceptance, and so much of crowds I can draw, and so many kitabs, 1,000 kitabs I have written. So, I must just influence them and ask them to accept what I say. No. I've got an elder, I must refer to my elder. And the elder, whatever he says, I must go by it. Now you compare, Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi doesn't have that type of following that Mawlana Thamir Rahmatullahi had, right? He hasn't written that type of kitab that Mawlana Thamir Rahmatullahi had. He doesn't have that type of khulafa that Mawlana Thamir Sahib Rahmatullahi had. But yet Mawlana Thamir Sahib Rahmatullahi considers him as his senior. You see, the numbers doesn't count here. It is something else. It is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that counts. So Mawlana refers to him that this is the position. The whole madrasa is in the standstill here. We include him, we'll just suppress this whole fitna. We exclude him, it's going to create more and more problem for us. Madrasa is in a standstill. What do we do now? Now look at the advice of Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi that is supposed to be written in gold. He says that the madrasa, the structures of the madrasa is not the objective. What? The structures of the madrasa is not the objective. The objective is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we break the law for the madrasa to flourish and we appoint this person here, we'll be held responsible, we'll be held answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person wasn't capable, he wasn't worthy. Why did you post an unworthy person into the trust? That question will come before the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this person wasn't worthy, he was incapable, why did you post him to that position? But, look at it the other way around, if we don't post him to that position, and as a result, there is a whole lot of trouble in the madrasa, there's problems, there's disputes, there's endless fighting carrying on, and as a result, the whole madrasa has to shut down, has to close down. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will not be held answerable. Allah ta'ala, you asked us not to post unworthy people to positions. Right? So we didn't post him. He objected, and as a result, the madrasa had to close down. But we won't be held answerable. You see that firmness on deen. That firmness on deen, and having the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you at any given time. This is the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. This is what Allah ta'ala wants. Let's go in that direction. If it happens, it happens. But we're not going to break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Musa alayhi salam, in that heat of the hatred for the sake of Allah ta'ala, hatred. And that hatred, the basis of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for any other reason. See. That's why sometimes I feel, you see the principles that our elders have laid out, we just remain on that. Whether it's the madrasa, whether it's in tabligh, whether it's the khanqa, what principles they laid out, just remain on that. See, like in tabligh they say, that a non-alim must only speak around the 6 points. And he mustn't move out of the 6 points. And I feel there's great wisdom in that. Very great wisdom in that. Someone has understanding of deen, you will understand the wisdom in it. And the moment you go out of the 6 points, you're causing a problem for yourself, you're causing a problem for the listeners. Now someone will come onto the mimbar and is delivering a talk. And you say, now, it's for us to go out. But they ask you just remain on the 6 points. They didn't ask you to do all these things here. You see that? Now it creates a furor amongst people. This person says that it's for us. But why this problem has come about? The problem has come about because he didn't stick to those 6 points. You see, great Buzurgaladin, Ulama-i Kiram speaking, they don't speak like this. Now this person is a wise crack. Now he's talking about these things. And that results in a problem. So they asked you to remain the 6 points, don't move out of it. You move out of it, you create problems. You see, you have to aspire, but you aspire in accordance to your position. Right? If a person that is cleaning the garbage, right, he wants to take the position of Mandela or Zuma, said, "By, you must aspire, right? You must hope. But according to your position, yeah, you must aspire perhaps. You become the head of the garbage. That's all right. But now you want to aspire for that, that's beyond you. Don't aspire, don't have that aspirations. Okay? Deen, hamari samajh ki naam nahi hai. It is not a product of our understanding. Now, we understood it, that this is deen. No? You go by the words and the statements of your Buzurgan Adeen. I tell you, there's a lot of security in that, a lot of protection in that. There's two things. One is the mold, and one is the raw material. Now, you want to make this chair, right? Plastic chair. So you require two things. One is you need the raw material, and the second is you need the mold. You have the raw material, you don't have the mold, is insufficient. You have the mold, you don't have the raw material, then too is insufficient. So the knowledge is like the raw material. And the mold is that zog, that understanding of this Buzurgan Adeen. And that understanding of Deen will come at their feet. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you will have to be at their feet to get the true understanding of Deen. I was explaining to the students cause of the week by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, women were allowed to visit the masjid. Mubarak era. Rasulullah left the world, and till then, women were visiting the masjid. Came the zamana of Umar radiallahu anhu, he banned them from coming. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu said in no uncertain terms, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam only knew what the women have started off now, he would have stopped them like he had stopped the woman of the Bani Israel. He would have stopped them like the woman of the Bani Israel were stopped from visiting the masjid. Now how this knowledge came to Aisha? It came with that understanding, with that company and association of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He understood, Umar understood, Aisha radiallahu anhu understood that this is the mansha and this is the objective of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now that you cannot get in the kitab. That you'll only get with the association. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted this. And she understood it. And I tell you, there's great wisdom in that. Very, very great wisdom in that. And people that do not heed to this wisdom, then they land themselves in problem. About a year or 2 years ago, one Mufti Sahab was a senior Mufti Sahab from Johannesburg. And he tells me, though they're not taking heed to this advice, in the masjid, Allah Ta'ala protect us. Young boy, young girl, they caused it right in the masjid. Right in the masjid, proper they caused it. Now where did this come from? This is understanding. As Aisha could see, she had a sight, she had a vision. And where this vision came from? From Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Umar radiallahu anhu had sight and vision. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have said this, that if there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. He must have said it for some reason. That Umar could see what others couldn't see. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu could see what the rest of the Ummah couldn't see. Everybody is saying, no, don't send this Jamaat of Usama ibn Zayd. Don't send this Jamaat now. It's a time that we have got internal strife. Strife from within our circles. People from within our circles are refusing to pay zakat. Then you got the Murtads, people that have turned away from Islam, renegated from Islam. Right? At this time now you're sending an army. So is this the appropriate time? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is all one out, he's one man. He's one man out. And he's got no support, not even from Umar radiallahu anhu. He hasn't got any support. And he shakes Umar radiallahu anhu. And really physically shakes him up. Ajabbarun fil jahiliyati, khawarun fil Islam. In the days of ignorance, and you can be a mighty person. Now in Islam, you become a coward. I am going to send this Jamaat out. And if you people aren't going to come out in this Jamaat, I will go out alone. Because Allah Ta'ala promised in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And wallah, I was the only person that was with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala is with me. Whether you like it or not, I'm going out. And then the hearts of the Sahaba Ikram opened out to what Umar radiallahu, to what Abu Bakr radiallahu was saying. Oh, then they say, definitely what Abu Bakr understood at that time, we didn't understand. But we only understand this at the culmination. At the time it ended, then you're, oh, this was the mansha. And had Abu Bakr not done this, Islam would have been broken to pieces. If you only understood history and see the movement of the events, that what Abu Bakr did, if it wasn't done, what would have happened? Islam would have been broken to pieces. So you see this mansha of the Akabir, it's not something that they took off from the back pockets. Now this is right through, it's replete. In that zamana, they were the Akabir. In every zamana, the Akabir, Buzurgan al-Din, Mashaykh, Ramai Kiram, who are overall considered as the Akabir, will have to understand them, follow them, and you will get the true spirit of Deen at their feet. Right? Then you see again, Rasulullah Pak Sassam had not compiled the Quran. Right? Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu have a discussion. They agreed that the Quran Sharif should be compiled in one place. And they instruct Zayd ibn Harisa, or Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, you go and compile the Quran. And Zayd ibn Thabit says, كَيْفَ تَفْعَلُ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. How can you do a thing that Rasulullah didn't do? Wallah, إِنَّ فِيهَا لَخَيْرٍ. Wallah, the only answer they give, there's good in this. They don't give an elaborate explanation until after some times, then Allah Ta'ala opens the heart of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu that this is the right thing. And then you think about it yourselves, that would it have been manageable with such a huge ummah, approximately 1.5-2 billion people, right? Could they have managed without a Quran being compiled one place? Do you see these people, his hikmat, wisdom? So what Allah Ta'ala inspires these people's heart, really, it's an inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this zamana and age, look at it, the miracle of the age is the jamaat work. Had Allah Ta'ala not inspired the hearts of the people that had begun the work, the Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah and his jamaat, would Islam be like how it is now today? Now, if you look at the nitty-gritty of the work, then you can't say that everything was conforming to the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Go out for one gush, out gush, in gush, and have talim in the masjid, talim in the house. Right? Can you say that? You can't say that. But that system that he was inspired with definitely is a protection for the entire ummah. Can you show me a replacement? Can you show me a substitute? No. So the simple thing is, don't apply your reason. These people are the slaves of the sunnah. If you talk of these people like Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, etc., etc., then they are the slaves of the sunnah. What they understood, you can understand. It will take your whole generation, a whole life, not one life, several lives for you to not even to get close to where they were. It will take you several lives. So the simple thing for you and for me is just to carry on, move around with them. Similarly, in the structures of the madrasa, right? One is the the nizam that we run, right? That is run India, Pakistan, and the other madrasas, right? They call it Dars Nizami, right? The type of curriculum that we follow. Now you find any madrasa, any part of the world, people that follow this curriculum, they have got a mindset, they have got a cause. And they are very stringent on the sunnah. And you can't find a system that is universal, international, that is acceptable as this one. Show me one system. Right throughout the globe, show me one system that is got this level of acceptance that this one has got. Others have got, but there's discrepancies. There is a curriculum in place, but then there is some extremism. Someone is going to photography, someone is going to co-education, mixed education. Somebody's got some khurafat or the other, some nonsense or the other. But the one that this one has got, Dars e Nizami, our Buzurgan ad-Din, Allah filled the graves with noor, right? Do you see the protection that had come with it? So the simple thing is by just carry on with the flow. Provided they are your accepted akabir, yourself, you just go with them. You'll find a protection in them. But you move away from them, then you don't have the security with you. You have got the security, you have got a security, you have got the backing of du'as, you have got support, you have got a lot of things you have got. But now you move away from that, you got no support, no security. You are what you are because of the du'as. You are what you are because of the security that comes with this package. You move away from this package, you don't have the security. It's on the lighter side, you open one tea room, right? And remove that Kentucky sign. Can it run?
You just put that Kentucky sign on how it began to flourish. Just that sign. So you come to that package, that acceptance, and the type of clientele you will get it with the sign. Now that argument, you can break it. I know I can break it, but that it'll be an isolated thing. Forget that. Now I'm just showing you in a lighter way. Anyway, what I'm getting at, Musa alayhi salam, for the disgust that he had for these people's ways, their ways were corrupt. إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأُهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah Pak, you have given them a lot of pomp, a lot of glory. And they are misusing it. رَبَّنَا لِيُذِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. They are misusing it. They are becoming more and more corrupt. You see that? So he's got no personal vendetta against Fir'aun. It's not a personal thing. It's the path that Fir'aun has adopted that's creating so much of disgust in the heart of Musa alayhi salam. لِيُذِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. They are misleading people from your cause, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see that? See, the kafir, unfortunately, he begins to think in a different way. His thinking, his reasoning goes corrupt. He feels, وَلَئِن رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ عِنْدَهُ خَيْرًا مُنْقَلَبًا. If I am brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I'll get a better reward. I'll get a better refuge. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed me so much here, then you only bless a person when you love him, right? Now see the reasoning of the kafir. You bless the person when you love him. So Allah Pak loves me, so he's blessed me here. So when he's blessed me in this temporary abode so much, then in the eternal abode, how much more will he bless me? So now his whole reasoning goes in that way. He doesn't understand that there were more mightier people, had much more wealth and influence than them, more supporters, more children, more wealth, more influence, more power. But Allah Ta'ala destroyed them on account of the injustice, on account of the corruption, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. But what he says, رُجِعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ. If I'm going to be ever returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I'm ever going to be brought back to Allah, I'll get something better there. So the reasoning is corrupt. That is not a standard. That worldly comfort is not the standard. It's just part of the mosquito wing. What I think all of us got now, right, will not even be a trillionth portion of that wing. So it is something to fight about. Sometimes the believers get misled. Oh, but no, we should go like this, you know. We should get this type of wealth, this type of property, this type of whatever, right? If we don't get that, then people won't recognize us. They won't identify with us. What they'll think of us. So, in order for us to be powerful, in order for us to be mighty, we need to get what we need to have what they have. But, wallah, it is not a thing that you should be pining over, you should be stressing about. You know, there is... one person was speaking about a plan of succession. People feel that we should have a plan of succession. What's going to happen to me when I'm aged? What's going to happen to my children? And what's going to happen to my grandchildren? Okay. Now, this type of a thinking is not in keeping with the spirit of Islam. Really, it's not in keeping with the spirit of Islam. Okay. Look at the Persian Empire. It's a lengthy story, but I just want to give you one side of the Persian Empire. The child is looking forward to the king dying. The son is looking forward to his father, the king dying. Old man is not dying. You have a situation where you are servicing that policy for the life insurance, whatever, and that old man is not dying now. So unnaturally somehow get the man killed so that you can get the returns. The 10 million is only going to come after he dies. But he's not dying naturally, he's not dying. You're waiting, paying 5,000, 10,000 every month. But the man is not dying. Now naturally you can't get the money unnaturally. You see that? So anything, is there anything secure in this world? Anything guaranteed? But the own child wants to take on the throne of the father. Father is not dying. So what the father does? What the son does? The son somehow leads the father into the vault and he pushes him inside and closes the vault, starved to death. Persian Empire. It's recorded in history and he pushed his father into the vault, starved him to death, or he's on the throne. And the father had some inkling, you know, this child of mine wants this position, and he's going to do something weird. So what he did, in some other vault, he put one medication there, and wrote there, you know, very, very potent, because he knew his child, what he was up to, all the nonsense that he was up to, he knew about it, very potent this thing, very, very powerful. So the child went to open up all the vaults, and he went to drink this poison, straight away he died. So son killed the father killed the son. Anything secure in this world, anything guaranteed in this world, nothing guaranteed in this world. If there's anything that you can hold on to, then it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. Everything else is unstable. It may work, it may not work. Your health, you are strong now as you stand. But can you guarantee that type of health? You are intelligent, you are capable as you stand now. And one nerve must just be suppressed in you, as big, powerful, mighty, intelligent as you are, and you become a useless person. Don't we hear about these stories? We hear about these stories. We see these stories in front of us. Man can't move a single limb. Just one nerve that is thinner than a hair, that thing got suppressed, and the man can't do anything now. So where's the plan of succession? A thing, or things for us to think about, is Rasulullah Baksam and the Sahaba Ikram. One white woman, imagine a kafir, she's teaching us iman. What she says, that look at your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isn't it a disgrace that a kafir has to come and teach us iman? Isn't it a disgrace? Look at your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's died without a penny in his pocket, but with the entire world at his feet. Right? And when she says that the entire world in his feet, I think 100%, more than 100% she's right. Because from the time that he's left till now, it's over 1400 years. Show me one person in this gathering that doesn't die to die in Madina Munawara. Show me one person. The world over, they spend billions just to come there for a short visit, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 1 year, 1 week. The world over, everybody wants to go there. And see, if I got a place in the Riyazul Jannah, hey, that person, he got it, man. He passed here right near the Rose of Mubarak. Just to die there, you'll spend millions to just die there. So what was there in that personality that attracts you now, 1400 years after he's gone? 1400 years has gone, finished now. What was there in that personality? So in this world, there is nothing as a plan of succession. Plan of succession is only holding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That rope of Allah ta'ala doesn't snap. وَعَتَسِيمُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Hold on to Him. Trust in Him. Fear Him. You don't ever try and disregard Him. Don't disregard Him. Please Him all the time and you hold on to Him. And you see that your holding will be firm. It can never break. It can never snap. But the moment you left of Him, you got no security. Nothing. Some years back, some person was here. He's telling me about the Hewlett's, right? Major corporate. I think all South Africa will need them, right? They can't function one day, I think, without Hewlett's, isn't it? Yeah? One person is telling me. But he met the son or the grandson of the original Hewlett founder. And the poor chap is on the streets, Cape Town somewhere. He lost out everything. He lost out whatever his habits were. He lost out everything and he's on the streets somewhere in Cape Town. So where was that law of succession? Where was that plan of succession? Don't tell me, where is it? So if there's anything, then it's only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you held on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is there for you in the time that you are strong. When you become unmanageable, you can't manage yourself, then too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Otherwise, you look at it, look around you, just look around you. Man ages up, woman ages up. Nobody wants to take care of the person, as wealthy as the person may be, but nobody wants to take care. And the worst is, at the time of the holiday, hey, now our holiday is all ruined because of this old man. Nobody is watching how much that old man generated to bring up this empire. That old woman, how much she did to bring up this empire, nobody looks at that. Now he's unmanageable, send him the old age, or get a Makoti or a Mama to look after that person. And that man must die thereafter in isolation, whilst his children, everybody are running everywhere. Does it happen or doesn't it happen? Comes the holiday, Nobody has to take care. That old man or that old lady will have to say, Allah Pak, you know, oh Allah Ta'ala, I have to live in bags and move from one house to the other. Oh Allah Ta'ala, take me away. Is there anything like plan of succession? No, no, sir. It's just a dream. It's just a dream. It's a hallucination. It's a thought, wild thought that we got. No plan of succession. That plan will only come if you hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll look after you now when you are strong. When you have aged and you become weak, he'll look after you. He'll give you that respect. When you're dying, he'll give you that respect. Mawlana Umarji rahmatullah alayhi was here some years ago. He gave a talk in the month of Ramadan. And he was explaining one prime minister of a Muslim country. Just for respect's sake, I'm not going to tell the name of the Muslim country. He gave the name of the prime minister and of that country. And he was sick, so he needed to be hospitalized. And he preferred to be hospitalized in America somewhere, right? Top state-of-the-art hospital, security, everything. And it happened, death had to come and take him there. And there was nobody to do his funeral rites but a pastor and his group. The time that this man is dying, there is a pastor and there is a group of Christians that are coming to do his last funeral rites. You know, they will come and sing whatever they need to sing from the Bible, whatever, they will come and sing all that at the time his man is dying. See that? Where the strength went, where the power went, where the money went, nothing came into effect. If there was anything, if there is anything that can help you at that time, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what a disgrace. You know, I think about that. It sends a shiver in your spine. You know, Allah Pak, save us. Now you save us, you look after us at that moment as well. When we need you most, Allah Pak, you take care of us. But it sends such a shiver in your spine. You know, imagine the prime minister of a country, powerful, wealth, everything he's got. There's not a thing that he's short of. But the person, the people that come to do his last funeral rites as he's leaving, as he's on the way out, is a pastor and his whole group. See that? So you hold on to Allah Ta'ala at that trying moment also, he'll take care of you. And you forget that, then he forgets you. So Musa alayhi salam was very, very upset at this, very disturbed at this. Very much disturbed at this. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have given them all this just that they may mislead. رَبَّنَتْ مِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَجْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ So Musa alayhi salam curses him. Oh Allah ta'ala, see that curse based on the hatred for the sake of Allah ta'ala is also something that is desirable. So if you see one buzurg making a dua, Allah ta'ala destroy them, then don't say, why is he making the dua for destruction? It's based on hatred. Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, you would make this dua, Allah Ta'ala, destroy these people like how you destroyed the Ad and the Samud. Right? Now there is another buzurg that will say, Allah Ta'ala, guide everybody, have mercy on them, bring them to Islam. So he is based on the love and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, and he is based upon the hatred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both are on the right. Don't you ever say that, how is he doing this and how is he doing this? He's basing it on the hatred for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, here for the love and for the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both bases are right. The bases aren't wrong. Then you can't ask, why did he do this? Allah Ta'ala has created different awliya ikram and buzurgan ad-deen in different ways. There's not only the rose plant in the garden. If there's a rose plant, then there's something else also. There's violet also. So with all that different varieties, you find the beauty. You only have one, you don't have the beauty. So Musa alayhi salam cursed them. I had to mention this, why? Because sometimes we don't understand these points. We hear just one aspect of it, and then we feel, that why aren't we making dua for the mercy, for the guidance? Why are we just making dua for the destruction? So if it is based only on the love of Allah Ta'ala, or only for the hatred for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then the basis are right. You don't have a right to object to them. In our dua kunut, don't we make this type of dua? Allahumma shattit shamlahum, Allahumma mazik jam'ahum, Allahumma dammir diyarahum. Don't we make this dua? So this dua is also correct. And that dua with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma di qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rather guide them. They don't understand. So that dua is also right. This dua is also right. The only thing, it's a different of context. If you know that, you understand the context, then you will understand everything. It won't be a mystery. But when you don't understand the context, then you need to ask. See, this is another problem that we have. That when we don't understand context, that we want to come to our own conclusions, rather than we asking and referring to ulama-i-kiram and buzuqan-ad-deen who have the true understanding. Okay. You will go to them and you will get the understanding what is said here and what is meant here, in what context did he mention this, what context he mentioned this. I mentioned some weeks ago that one person comes to one buzuq and he says, is there tawbah for a person who commits murder? He said, no, Allah Pak will forgive you. Allah Pak is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah Pak is most merciful. And he goes to another buzurg, or same buzurg, and he asks him, someone else comes to that buzurg and asks him, that is there any tawbah for a person who commits murder? He said, don't ever go near it. It's unpardonable. For the one person, he said, don't worry, Allah Pak will forgive. Allah Pak is most merciful. Allah Pak is Ghafoorur Rahim. And the second person, he says, unpardonable. Don't even go. Don't even think of doing such a thing. The students are asking why this person is unpardonable and this person you said Ghafoor Rahim. Well, that person, I said, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. He's already committed the sin. Islam doesn't know anything of despondency and despair. Whatever the nature of the sin, you ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala is ready to forgive you. And this person here is meditating murder. He is contemplating murder. So I can't tell him, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. I can't tell him this much. Now I need to stop him from that. Say, don't even go close that. To go close to that, Allah Ta'ala won't forgive you. See, the whole maslah had to change. This person, I had to package it differently for him. This person, I had to package it differently for him. See? You see the importance of asking and the importance of us referring this masail to people that are senior. Right? Understand, experience, taqwa, etc. All these things count. You can't now just say, now I learned, now I can give a fatwa, and I can write a kitab. No. It doesn't work out. Hazrat Bishr Hafi Rahmatullahi's sister, she had to make her yarn, the old days to make yarn and all that. And she spun her yarn in the light of the procession of the king, making it at night, so she needed some light. So the light of the procession of the king, and she spun the yarn. Now, she's worried that I'm going to sell this. What about the money that comes out of this? Is it halal or haram? Because it was spun with the light of the procession of the king. So is the income from this halal or halal? She sent her maid, go to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great muhaddis, great mufti of the time, go and ask him. Imam Ahmad rahmatullah says, this masla can't be yours. You are a maid, so you can't be asking this type of a question. Whose masla is this? No. My boss told me that I mustn't disclose her name. But I'm not going to show you the answer. She got the permission and came and asked again that this is the sister of Bishr Hafi, the greatest of the awliya of the time. So, well, under normal circumstances, I would have said that this is permissible. But when you are the sister of Bishr Hafi, I say you mustn't use that money. That money is not right for you. See that? That whole answer is packaged differently. Though under normal circumstances it would have been permissible, but now you are too clean for that. Your position is too lofty for that. Your system will not agree. One person is eating ojri, and he just dusted off all that dirt and it's put into his mouth. I've seen all this thing here. Really, I've seen this thing here. And they find it more enjoyable. I don't know, you ask Mullah, maybe he's seen something like this also. Tribe, they just dust it, cut it out. Front of my eyes, they just cut the animal. First, the thing they went to look for is a tribe and cut a small piece. It's more enjoyable. See, you clean all the things, where's the enjoyment gone? So one person finds an enjoyment in that, and the other person feels bilious with that. Same thing, isn't it? Enjoyment, and the other person feels bilious, nauseous about it. So this person's system has become very refined. So his system will reject it. And this person's system is totally unrefined. You see that? It's totally unrefined and this is very refined. Differences of temperament, differences of position, difference of understanding how many differences there are until you understand the person and then work out the answer for him accordingly. Okay? Other Shaykh Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali is the peer bhai of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he had a claim for a piece of land and the decision was awarded in his favor. So the judge told Mullah Shaykh Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali that the decision is in your favor and you can sue him with interest. Under the circumstance, there is one masla that says that this is permissible for you. Under the circumstance, there is a masla in Hidayah that says that this is permissible for you. So Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali says, no, I'm not prepared to take that. I'm not prepared to take that interest. But it's permissible. You are in constraints. You know, you have incurred so much of problems and debts because of this person here. He's caused all this problem for you. So you can take, at least settle your debts. So no. This is where I'm going to take Hidayah all around the world and tell them that this is the masla here. The world will, what will the world say? Oh, Sheikh Muhammad, Mulana Sheikh Muhammad has consumed interest. For the broader interest of the people, I'll have to leave the interest. I'll have to be disinterested because of the broader interest. See that? See this understanding of the Buzurganadi. Now let's compare, look at the comparison. Our Qari Sahib was here some days back, so he tells me that he had just come back from Canada. So he was in a madrasa, visiting some madrasa. So the Qari Sahib that was conducting the class, he was taking a fine from the students for late payment of the fees. Someone came out, deferred payments, and you can take interest, you know. Like how you get these banks, Islamic banks and all. They talk about interest on a deferred payment. And they found something, I'm not disputing whatever it is. I'm not saying it's permissible, and I'm not saying it's impermissible. Whatever the nature of the problem is. Now look at this. Now compare this against this incident. Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykhul Islam, all of us follow him. We take the cue from him, right? He's conducting a class at about 12 o'clock at night. And that was his style. Very busy man, no time is fine, so he'll conduct the class. Around 12 o'clock at night, one person, Pathan, and he tells Mulana, now you stop the class. Mulana says, now come right till here, let me end the sabak. So Mulana, please end the sabak. Why? But why? He says, tu to nashta karke aata hai, aur hum to bhuka aata hai. Hamara pet khali hai, tera pet bhara hua. That person tells Mulana. Mulana closes the sabak immediately, and he asks this boy to accompany. And he finds out, boy, what's wrong? No, I'm in constraints, I'm in difficulties, I can't manage to have so much of food that I require. So Mulana says, now, I will instruct you that you have your meals with me. You see that? Here, the student is being fed by the ustad himself. And there you have to pay a fine. You see, I'm telling you, the understanding, the zawq of the sharia will come from this buzruganadi. Otherwise, you're going to do it, you're going to concoct everything, confuse and complicate everything. The man is feeding, he's a student. He's standing up right till 12 o'clock at night. After he shot from about 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock, 3 hours, old man at the age of 75, and he's conducting lessons like that. What is getting? No remuneration for that. He says, no, it's an instruction. You are going to come with me and you're going to have meals there with me. And here, just for a small deferred payment, delayed payment, you pay a fee, you pay a fine for that. Do you see the understanding of deen, where it comes from? So this understanding of deen is a different thing. That real zawq of deen comes from a different place. It doesn't come like how we think it will come. If you give it to us, then it will definitely disfigure the deen, mutilate the deen. Na'uzubillah, Allah Ta'ala forgive us. You see, this deen and how it comes. It comes with difficulty. It comes. It comes and it comes with sacrifice. It comes with qurbani. It comes, but it comes at the one word in the company of this mashayikh. Forget the qurban. Oh, you won't have to do a lot of qurbani. You won't have to do a lot of sacrifice. But you will have to sit at their company, sit at their feet, and for a long duration, then you understand what is deen all about. Otherwise, you think that you have read and your deen has come to you. No, you forgot it. I mean, there must be a reason. Now that Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullah Alayhi, he is known as the walking library. Yeah? But he says, go and read Bukhari Sharif 1,000 times. Wallah, he says, Wallah, the deen is not going to come to you until you don't sit at the feet of this Buzurgan deen. You won't make any sacrifice. But you don't sit at the feet of these people, you're not going to get the deen. You're not going to get the true understanding. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.